No less important, we see a new shift in education, a new emphasis in the way education was understood by the middle of the 18th century. From the primarily technical, professional orientation that was Peter the Great's preference, by the middle of the 18th century, the emphasis shifted to a much more liberal, to a much more humanist approach to education. This was very much Catherine the Great's emphasis. And this was very explicit. For example, Catherine's main education advisor, a man named Ivan Bitskoy, argued that the purpose of education was to form nothing less than an educated, intelligent member of society. In other words, a cultural leader of his or her nation. And this required developing the whole person, not just particular technical skills, technical knowledge. Or to put this much more in the language of the 18th century, which, by the way, persisted in Russian talk about learning even into the 20th century, what was really important was mental and moral development, not just skills training. It meant knowledge. It meant intellectual skills about how to think, how to analyze. But it also meant sensibilities, sensibilities of right and wrong, a sense of responsibility, a love of virtue, all high values in the 18th century understanding of education. It's worth pausing for just a moment over some of the major consequences of the growth of this educated class in Russia. First of all, we see a number of young Russians, educated Russians, coming back from a European education, but also those graduating from Russian universities, especially Moscow University, burning to be useful. They wanted to do something with all this knowledge, all this understanding of right and wrong, all this sense of virtue. They wanted to apply these ideas to Russia's realities. And we've heard something, we know something about how harsh those realities were. It's what troubled monarchs, it what troubled many of these members of the elite. They were also inspired by something even more particular, by the idea of the natural dignity and worth of the individual as a human being, a fundamental idea drawn from the Enlightenment, taught to them in school, to be found everywhere in the education they received, an important concept, and as you'll see, an increasingly dangerous one in Russian history for the status of the continuation of the status quo, especially autocracy and serfdom. A second important consequence is something a little more particular, though closely related. The emergence of a group of people who could be called, though the term would only really be used in the 19th century, could be called an intelligentsia, a Russian term, by the way, that would eventually enter other languages, including English, though often pronounced by us, intelligentsia. This meant a group of educated elites criticizing the realities around them on the basis of high moral and philosophical ideals. You'll hear more about this class and its nature. They become very important in the 19th century. A third development connected to this emergence of an educated class was the emergence of what might be called a public sphere. This is a very important domain in the development of any society, this sort of domain that exists between the state and between private life, between the rule of the government and individual family life, though the boundaries here are often rather fuzzy. This is a zone, an era where people can come together, individuals can come together, where they can talk or communicate in other ways, such as through the printed press, where they can communicate, most importantly, without coercion, about matters of general concern, about public matters. In other words, a place where what might be called public opinion, free public opinion, can form. And ideally, people could do more than just speak and share ideas, but actually participate in this public sphere in a civic life, in various non-governmental forms of public life on the basis of their opinions. And this public sphere, which you can probably see is the foundation for the emergence of a democratic society, was definitely growing in 18th century Russia. And you can see it in all sorts of places. The universities, even though formerly state institutions, were given a great deal of autonomy and became really centers for the educated to think about big questions. Academies, the various academies of sciences, but also more what might seem like private places, but where public issues were discussed, namely the very homes of the rich, where there were often salons, including both men and women, talking about important issues. Masonic lodges, which you'll hear more about, were also places where people could gather and talk about these public concerns, and the new independent publishing industry, enabled by the reforms of the state, especially Catherine the Great. Now, to illustrate all of these trends and how important this emergence of an educated public class was, and some of the ideas connected to them, I want to focus on a single individual, a man named Nikolai Novikov, who lived from 1744 to 1818.